Walter is the reason why you have dozens of South Africans who actually understand or even know that Warren Buffett exists. He's, for more than 20 consecutive years, he's made an annual pilgrimage to Omaha to sit at the feet of Warren Buffett and the late Charlie Munger at the Berkshire Hathaway AGM. Apart from bringing his friend Corky Kooiman into the camp, they then brought Piet Viljoen in as well. And Tony Cottrell, who's usually at these events, was there one year that I was with along, so I know he was there. Laurie Dippenaar, Yanni Mouton, these guys went to go and learn from Buffett because of what Walter decided to do many years ago. Walter's son has written a book on Buffett after going to the Berkshire AGM. And I don't know if he's going to tell us much about that, but the big thing, the reason why Buffett is so deeply ingrained in people's lives, those of us who have been there and read about him and studied his work, is because it's not just a way to invest, it's a way to live. It's a way of living. Walter's background, you might not know it, but he's got his own fund management company, just like Sean, founded his own, just like Pete, just like Magnus, founders of investment, of their own investment companies, because I suppose, like most entrepreneurs, they felt they could do it better, and they certainly have in all of those cases. But he also has a background right at the early days of some of the other asset management companies that are today giants, and he was part of building them. He's a man who's made a career of learning and learning from the masters. And it is such a privilege for us to have Walter here with us for the first time at a BizNews conference. But I can assure you, you're in for a treat. Thank you. This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. Building wealth and protecting legacy since 2004. Invest better with Brenthurst.
Well, after that last presentation, this is the dinosaur part of the presentation. Pete was the cockroach and I'm the crocodile. Yeah, so good afternoon, everybody. And, you know, when Alec phoned me to present here, I immediately said yes, because I enjoyed the last interview so much that we had on the TV or YouTube, whatever they call them these days. And also he promised me, he assured me that I would not have to pay to present here. So it's an honor and a privilege to present to yourselves, and thank you for coming, and thank you for staying to listen to the dinosaur, yeah? So I've called this presentation, You're Lucky in Life If You Meet the Right Heroes. And in the next 20 minutes, hopefully, it's not ticking there.
They're lucky.
Okay. Hopefully I can explain to you how this has worked in my life, why it has helped me in the world of investing. And more importantly, how I think it can make us, this great country of ours, a better place to live in. But a bit of context is required to explain why I chose this title. So through my entire school career, through my entire school career, I was the worst student possible. I successfully competed for the bottom of the class. And I was in Port Elizabeth in a school called Grey High School. I then went to university, UPE and Rhodes, and managed to fail twice. I had this distinction of getting -6 for maths. It's possible. They had negative marking. And then my dad said, don't you want to try a third year? You know, and I said, no, my dad, I've got to go to the army. And first smart decision of my life, in a sense, that I went to the finest school and learned a lot from that experience. I came out and then went on to go back to university and totally different, went to the top of the class, became a chartered accountant. My dad, my late father, still thinks I bought it. And it's not possible that you can be a chartered accountant. And more importantly, thereafter, I went on to build a business, which today is about $1.3 billion under management over 20 years. I've fortunately been able to prove those people believe in index management that I can beat the index with a great team. And we've done really well, about 12 to 13% per annum for the last 20 years. And in my prior life at my other employer, it was exactly the same. But I want to share a story with you that leads to this part of the presentation. It was this very famous businessman in the USA. At a young age, him and his buddies, they decided to run away from home. And they left Washington and they went up to Hershey. And along the way, the police caught them and stopped them and said, "Where are you going?" They said, "No, we're on holiday." And of course, they were very good liars and they got past the police and they went to some youth hostel. And then eventually, one of the other people in the youth hostels phoned the police to tell them that these guys were actually had run away from home. So they worked it out very quickly. They ran back to home and so because they didn't want to be caught for lying. And when this gentleman walked through, his mother said to him, "How come you back so early?" And then his father said, "I know, son, you can do better the next time." And from then onwards, he decided to follow his father and to look up to him because of the positive attitude. It's the only time that I know Warren Buffett lied. And he puts his father as the first and major reason why he was successful in investments and in his life at a personal level. So in a similar way, my euros were started like that. And over the next 30-odd years, these euros would influence me. So I'd started at Seyfert's Managed Assets. Leon Kampfer had moved out to start Coronation. And Yanni Kaper, who was the boss at the time, kept on talking about Buffett says this and Buffett says that. And I said, "Who the hell is this Buffett, you know?" And I said, "Well, I really need to go and find out who he was." And actually, credit to Pitt, he went before us. And he encouraged me to go. So that was the second year in my life that if he hadn't encouraged me, I probably wouldn't be standing here. Yes, I did encourage Kokkie Kooyman because he also didn't want to go. And it was the start of a wonderful pilgrimage to Omaha for the next 25 years. And not only with I was looking for this holy grail to investments, it was going to teach me how to deal with those cruel things that life throws at you. So fortunately for me, I met Buffett and Munger. I do have a picture of them with me and got to know them quite well. And at that stage, I was a growth fund manager. I did TMT, yes, in 2000, technology, media, and telecoms. You remember, Alec? And I believed in the new era and there was nothing else. Very similar to what we're hearing today. And I fortunately came out the closet and decided to go more the rational, common sense way of thinking. It was I found and discovered discovered that it was a much more pleasant way to make money. So Taste Detroit, my boss at Coronation, kept on saying, "Why on earth do you keep on going to this flipping thing in Omaha? You know, you can see it on the internet or you can get transcripts." And I said, "You know, Taste, you don't understand. You go there to set the compass to true north every year. You go there to clean the windscreen. And as Sean said, you do not drive the car through the rear view mirror." But what I also didn't tell him was that along these journeys, I met the most fascinating people, competitors from America, local competitors, individuals, and of course, clients that came with us at their own cost, and people like you mentioned, Laurie, Taze Frisser. I need to correct you on one thing. Yanni was coming and then his wife died. So I never, ever saw Yanni there. Yanni Mutar. Maybe another time. Okay. But I remember it was very sad because we had kept a place for him. And then, of course, Taze died. Frisser died much later. So, and we had wonderful times and lunches and suppers talking about life in general. And as I got to know Charlie and Warren, I realized, and Charlie really was my hero, Charlie Munger. And he had lost his eyesight in the one eye, half blind in the other, lost his son to leukemia at the age of 8, got divorced. And while he's once said, I'll never forget, because I also attended that little meeting in California, which is much better than Berkshire's AGM, and where he says, it's fine to cry, but you've got to soldier through. You've got to pick yourself up and go through. And, you know, as life throws these cruel curveballs at you, and when it happened to me, it's exactly what I did. So where I was very, very fortunate in building this business of Aylett & Co. is that I managed to get two of the best partners in the world. And the one was Dagan Sachs. He literally drove down from Joburg, not knowing what his salary was going to be. He just wanted to join the asset management business, and he trusted me. And then 5 years later, Justin Ritchie joined me. And today, they manage most of the domestic equity funds at Aylett & Co. And we were able to build a business of this wonderful partnership of respect, kindness, and trust. And we're not friends. We don't socialize. But they, in essence, were becoming my heroes. And in my darkest times, when I was going through personal tough times, they were there for me. And it's absolutely, the business didn't suffer a blip, as it normally does when the CEO is under stress. So often people say, well, why did you leave Coronation? You know, you were doing well there, and I was very happy there. And I thought at the time it was because I wanted to be my own boss, or how do I prove how good I am? And I certainly wasn't going for the money. But in the end, I worked out I could choose my own people, my own partners, and in a sense, my heroes of the future. And so I kept on learning from these masters, Charlie and Warren. One of them was the principle of inversion, where if you've got a problem, you look at the answer and then work backwards. I think Carl Jacobi, the mathematician, invented this method. And Alex spoke about my son, Kimon. From the age of 16, he started going to Omaha with me, and he wrote a book during COVID, and it's over here. And Alec and Pitt are in the book itself, and interviewed other people like Laurie Dippenaar. And it's a good book on explaining some of these things that I'm talking about. And if you don't mind, if I can put a plug in and put it on the WhatsApp group, you can order a book from Take a Lot. But his hero was Roger Federer. And Roger had this thing that if it's close to the line, it's out. And many times in our business, we've called things out even when they're not out. And that kind of makes life a lot easier. So you can see how these heroes are starting to influence the way we operate. And, you know, it's a good thing to be tough on yourself, the stoic way of thinking. And, you know, Buffett also told me about, if you tell lies, you've got to remember them. And fortunately, if you don't tell lies, you become pretty consistent. So these presentations become easier and easier. And as Charlie said, if it's trite, it's right. So you get all these mongerisms, this Midwest way of thinking. And so they developed over time. Oops. And the thing about principles, they can't change. You know, they're established, and you've just got to live with them. And if you can find the right principles, you go quite far. Another test that we used, or principle, was the newspaper test. Often in business with clients and investments, you come across a situation where an action has been contemplated and you're not quite sure, is it correct? Is it ethical? So we always employ this newspaper test of putting it on the front page of the morning newspaper on a Monday, and where an ardent or an objective critic could look at it and still approve the action. And that became very, very useful for us and kept us out of a lot of trouble, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of money flying around. So the business was built on these type of things, Charlie and Warren always in the background. And often Charlie would be asked, you know, how do I become rich and successful and happy and you know, like you? And using the principle of inversion, he said, well, I don't know the answer to that, but what I will do for you is teach you how to become unsuccessful, poor, and unhappy. So the first thing you have to do is you must take a lot of chemicals. Drugs and alcohol will sort you out. Secondly, you must definitely resent. Resent is a very good way of being unhappy. And if you can't not resent, you can use the Benjamin Disraeli technique of writing the name on an envelope, a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, put it in the drawer, and every year pull it out and see how life is taking care of that person. And then thirdly, envy. There's no upside to envy. You must envy a lot. And fourthly, what you must do is be unreliable. So if you do these four things, my friend, you will be very poor, unsuccessful, and unhappy. And that was Charlie, pure power of their principles. I would like to add another one that he once said a little bit later. He says, you must always follow the three L's, which is avoid ladies, leverage, and liquor. You'll go quite far. So, you know, this is kind of what we did. And we kept on, you know, doing this type of thing. So we do a lot of work with students. And we're sitting there the one day at UCT in Stellenbosch. And you do your presentation. And it's very worthwhile. We put it on our website. It's worth looking at. We do it twice a year. Wonderful. And the future of this country is unbelievable. Someone spoke about it earlier on. I think it was that Prince, yeah. He's got it spot on. He's got it spot. And, you know, you get this young eager beaver comes up to you after the presentation. He's had a few glasses of wine. And he says, Mr. Aylett, I want to be like you. I said, what? He says, yes. How do I start my own asset management business? How do I get ahead, you know? I'm ready to go. I said, and I look at him and I stay quiet for 5 seconds, looking hard at this young guy. I said, you want to be like me? He says, yes. I said, well, first of all, you're going to enter the most competitive landscape in the world. Everyone wants to do what you want to do. So how are you going to beat them? What you're going to do, what I did, not by design, but I had no choice, you're going to stop studying full time. You're going to go work for the next 10 years. You're going to study at night and you'll have 6 years on these other guys there because they won't do that. He says, you mean stop full time? I said, yes. And you'll go very, very far. And you walked off like this. He was very unhappy. But and that is really these heroes that you meet. It's all about tough work. You need integrity. You need energy and a bit of intelligence. That's all you need. And this is the message that Charlie and Warren kept on giving me. And as Jamie Carr, the comedian, said, you know, when you're famous, you're up there and you're making everyone laugh, everyone wants to be like you. But no one ever asked you how you got there and how hard it is to get there. And I think that's part of it's very important. And along the way of this career, I'm not trying to blow smoke up my whatever, you know, and I'm not trying to say what a great person Walter Ayler is, but I'm really saying that I wouldn't be here with I hadn't met these people. Now, one of the guys that I did meet was Tim Alsop at Seifert's, and for the next 4 years, we developed the most wonderful partnership. Now, Tim is tall and I'm short. He is very English and I have a Greek background. He's a lot smarter than me and I'm not so smart. So how was this going to work? It worked because we had passion for the markets. And we would meet every damn day. Sundays, we'd have copious cups of tea discussing what we were going to do on Monday. And Tim was a great teacher. But what was interesting about Tim, he came out of a zoo that was taught by one guy, Neil Brown. And if you remember Simpson McKee, the stockbrokers in Cape Town, John Bickard came out of there, Kim Howard and Steve Garnowitz. And John was very, very helpful to me in my career. So you meet these heroes. And you jump onto their coattails and you hang on for dear life. And I have to give them a lot of credit. And always there was a sense of integrity. I never, ever had a fear of not trusting. So I am coming to an end. You can't do this without clients. And somehow we had to sacrifice. We should have been much bigger with our investment performance. But we were very circumspect, trying to find clients that could be in sync with us. There are not many people as long-term in their thinking, rational, and common sense. And I'm not being disrespectful. We're just the way we do things. And we were able to attract wonderful, wonderful clients who became our friends in some respects, very close friends. They came to Omaha. Some have come 5-6 times from day one. And they've helped us beat the index. And the reason why we beat the index, when you take an investment that's unpopular, then I'm not talking about contrarian investing. I'm talking about your own way of thinking, common sense. And you look at this investment and you buy it. And for a while, you suffer relative underperformance against the competitors and the index. But more importantly, once in a while, the market has a shake, a little earthquake or a tremor. For example, Trump says something and everything goes down. It's got nothing to do with the asset that you bought. But it gives you another chance to buy that asset at much cheaper prices. And this happens 2-3 times in the length of the investment cycle. And that ball just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the markets is there to serve you. Another thing that Charlie and Warren kept on banging the table for us. And so we were able to build this business because of our clients that allowed us to not look over our shoulder all the time. So as Charlie says, your most important decision in your life is choosing the right spouse. You know, this really is an important decision. And it always reminds me of a story that that Warren keeps on talking about. He says, if you want a marriage to last, not necessarily the greatest marriage, but you want it to last, what is the thing that you look for in your spouse? Is it looks? Is it brains? Is it money? Is it good sex? He says, no, you want a spouse with low expectations. It's going to last. So we want clients with low expectations. And we've always worked that way. We've always, as David Barnes, the chairman of Coronations, to smash it into my head, under promise, over deliver, Walter, under promise. And that's kind of, we've been allowed to do that. And as I, you know, I look at where we are 20 years later with $1.3 billion of very good assets, good clients. I've always said 8 at 1.0 is gone. We're now going into 2.0. The business has gone from 2 people to 16 to 18 people. And we live in this wonderful world of not only internet, but AI. And where it took me 20 years to understand electricity, I now take 20 minutes with AI. And I can tell you, it is our productivity is going through the roof. The real winners in AI, I think, are the owners, the shareholders, because their costs are going south and the productivity is going through the roof with the same amount of people. So I am really, really excited about Ayla 2.0, which is now, but I'm already thinking of 3.0. And if I can find these young people that I'm talking about, and they and I can lead from the front in terms of those three things, integrity, intelligent, and particularly energy. And without integrity, the other two don't really matter. And we have only got one thing at Ayla, it's our reputation. And we got it like it's the only thing that matters. And if we can do that, they will not only will we become their heroes in time to come, 3.0, in 10 years' time, we will look back and say, what the hell happened? Because when you see the crop of youngsters that I've got, they're unbelievable. They worked very, very hard. They love being there. And when you got that, you're quite unstoppable. And so I'll end off with this little story. It's a bit emotional, but, you know, we play rugby now quite a lot on a Saturday. And I have the joy or the privilege of renting on the waterfront. Pitt convinced me to go there because he's bought a place on the corner there. And my young son, who works at EY, middle son, the other two work with me. He says, Dad, the boxer playing on Saturday. Can I have my mates over? Kind of show off, I suppose. I don't know. It's a beautiful venue. So I said, oh, sure. In through the door comes 15 individuals. They're chartered accountants. They're lawyers. They're not ordinary lawyers. They're scientists, marine biologists. They're people of color. They're male and female. And okay, I love cooking, so I take care of the cooking. I watch these youngsters. And they're really, really interesting. And they are, I'm looking at them. And then suddenly the anthems come on. And they all jump up. And they sing with a passion you've ever seen. And if we can keep those young people, if we can become the heroes to them with good behavior, we get what we deserve, as Charlie says. I have no doubt we won't be sitting in a conference in 10 years' time saying, contemplating our future, we'll be saying, what the hell happened? I think I should end there.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's leading boutique wealth manager. Trusted to guide families for over 20 years. Invest better with Brenthurst.